ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Hare Krishna. So this is a very auspicious afternoon celebrating what will be even the climax that's coming up. Two things at one time, two celebrations. So behind the fabric here, there's a lot of activity going on now. You'll see later on the Govardhan Hill. And today also marks the anniversary of Sri Sri Radha Sarada Bihari. Sri Sri Radha Sarada Bihari Ki. They've been the main deities that have given their mercy through this whole effort of serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the devotees since the beginning, which I'm not sure, 11 years now? Does anybody know? It's longer than that, I think. It must be longer than that because we 11 years already Rathiyatra, so 2 years, we started long before that. 2005, something 14 years, something like that. Yeah. That shows the mercy of Sri Sri Radha Sarada Bihari. Sri Sri Radha Sarada Bihari Ki! So this pastime involving Krishna when he was quite young in Vrindavan, where he lifted Govardhan Hill, in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 25. Narayana Namaskritya Ram Chaivam Narottamam Devim Saraswati Vyasam Tato Jamantaya Mudiraya Nashta Prayeshwa Bhadrisu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavata Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 10, the whole of Chapter 25 is devoted to Lord Krishna lifting the Govardhan Hill. There are a number of reasons why Lord Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill. In Bhagavad Gita, and I will not start with the text itself, but the part that is relevant to this. Paritana sadhunam vinashaya cha diskritam sadhunam diskritam. First, Krishna comes to enthuse his devotees and also put the demons in their place, so to speak. So, this time for Govardhan Hill, there weren't demons as such. Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill to please his devotees because they got to take his darshan for 7 days. Krishna also lifted Govardhan Hill to crush Indra's pride. So there was no demon as such, because we don't call Indra a demon, but he definitely was being demonic. At that point he was. He wasn't behaving right. So the number of lessons we can learn, Indra's pride, we have pride too. Some people admit, some people don't admit, but there are six vices that we have to combat to the best of our abilities. Better yet, come back with the help of our spiritual masters and with the help of the devotees. Lust, anger, greed, pride, illusion, and envy. So, Krishna wanted to smash Indra's pride. Krishna also wanted to enthuse the Vrajavasis by allowing them 7 consecutive days of his darshan. The Vrajavasis also showed us the importance of taking shelter of Krishna, because when the trouble struck, that's where they went. And Indra also taught us one thing: apology when someone is wrong. Later on he realized he was wrong. And Krishna showed Indra that it wasn't the right thing to claim that something that's been given to him by God was actually his own. He doesn't own the reins. He really doesn't. It belongs to Krishna. He's doing a job for Krishna. He has been given the opportunity to decide the amount of rain, when and where, but it doesn't mean that the rains belong to him. Now, I have a soft spot for Indra, actually. Sometimes we start talking about Indra, everything that he did wrong we talk about. But Indra was very, very helpful to the Pandavas. When Bhishma was kind of forced to divide the kingdom, Hastinapur wanted to, and the Pandavas got the barren land called Kandavrast. They took it. Duryodhan and his brothers, they stayed in Hastinapur, which is already well developed, nice city, and they went to Kandavrast. It was Indra that fertilized the land with the rain to make it really rich and wonderful. That was Indra. In fact, Kandavrast got changed to Indraprast for that reason. So Indra does good things. Not always, but Indra does good things. This time, he was so used to being given puja. The Vrajavasis had done year after year after year. And so why was that year going to change in his mind? In fact, Nanda Baba explained to Krishna that Indra supplies us rain, we do puja, but puja is nothing new. Puja is done, demigods come get their share, this is something has been going on. And so there's one specially for Indra, and Indra is very happy with that, and he gives rain so that Govardhan Hill itself is well nourished by the rains. Definitely, we know even now that rainwater is very, very good for plants. I myself take care of tulsis, and I can tell the difference when I put tap water on them versus when the rainwater comes and gets on them, how they respond. So there's no question that Indra's responsibility was actually quite important. Now, Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto, chapter 25, summarizes. There's a summary, then there's a text himself. So I'll just read the summary now. So this chapter describes how Lord Indra was overcome by anger when the residents of Vraja cancelled his sacrifice, and how he tried to punish them by sending forth a devastating rainfall to Vrindavan, and how Lord Krishna protected Gokul by lifting Govardhan Hill for 7 days and using it as an umbrella to ward off the rain. So many of you, if not all of you, have heard this pastime before. It was because Krishna was loved so much by his father and also by the cowherd men and the cowherd women, the cowherd girls, the mothers, all of them really, really looked at Krishna as the object of their happiness in Vrindavan. And so when he started the debate, for lack of a better word, with Nanda Baba, just by asking why we do this puja, and anything, we explain every year we do this for Indra, Indra gives us rain, and Krishna basically said that, but if you do the right thing, demigods are supposed to do their share of, you know, this is, you do well, then you get whatever you're supposed to get. Even now, if devotees or whoever does puja to Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva is obliged to give. So you do, they do. So if we do, he has to do. There's no question of having another, you know, puja just for him. And so, through the love that they have for Krishna, they agreed with Krishna's plans to have all of the celebration done for Govardhan Hill. Because Krishna says, well, that's where we take our cows, and we get nourished, you know, and Govardhan supplies so much. Therefore, this whole sacrifice should be taken from the way we used to do for Indra and to Govardhan Hill. Well, and this was agreed upon, and so we'll spare you the details. It was wonderful. The women dressed up so nicely, the bullock was carted there, so much prasadam was made. Krishna, we went through that. Krishna actually became Govardhan Hill and accepted the boga. And so this is all wonderful. And they circumambulated Govardhan Hill, and Indra is watching all of this. Oh, so now I'm not important anymore to these people. So then he got angry. See, pride, if it's hurt, will make you angry. Easily, when someone's pride is hurt, they get disappointed, and usually the feeling that comes with it is a feeling of anger. And worse, retaliation. This is all feelings that that Indra went through. Now, there was another part that I wouldn't support him there at all for some of the statements that he made. Very unfortunate. In Bhagavatam 10:25, the third text. So I'll read the translation. Indra said, just see how these cowherd men living in the forest have become so greatly intoxicated by their prosperity. They have surrendered to an ordinary human being, Krishna. So Indra is calling Krishna an ordinary human being, and thus they have offended the gods. So then he put himself above Krishna. Anyway, he wasn't the only one that was wrong. Lord Brahma was wrong too at some point. But he was thinking that he was better, higher than Krishna. Krishna is a boy. He is a human being. So that was the first offense. Now, text 4, he continues. That wasn't enough for him. Their taking shelter of Krishna is just like the foolish attempt of men who abandon transcendental knowledge of the self and instead try to cross over the great ocean of material existence in the false boats of fluidic ritual sacrifices. Now he has to be really angry to say something like that. He's saying that the cowherd men taking shelter of Krishna is like the foolish attempt of men who have abandoned transcendental knowledge of the self. Remember, he's always thinking the Krishna is just an ordinary mortal. So what he's about is transcendental, and what Krishna is about is just material. And he goes on. These cowherd men have acted inimically towards me by taking shelter of this ordinary human being, Krishna, who thinks himself very wise, but who is simply a foolish, arrogant, over-talkative child. Never say something like that. Never say something like that about Krishna. He was asking for trouble, literally. No wonder when later on, when he realized he was wrong and he wanted to apologize, Krishna wouldn't even look at him. This is the offenses. So we really be careful every time we say things. Either speak mildly, or if we're too upset for good reason, walk away from the area rather than come up with all of these things that you regret later on. Anger is like temporary insanity. He was angry, so he wasn't thinking. Even if Krishna was a human being, if he was just a simple human being, still to insult him to that extent is not acceptable at all. At all. Yet, he was so angry that the next thing, as you know about, he requested the Sambataka crowd and said, go to Vrindavan and really hammer them. Not just regular rain, but really flood the whole place up. I myself, this is Indra talking, I will follow you to Raj, riding on my elephant, Airavat, and taking with me the swift, powerful wind gods to decimate, that is, destroy the cowherd village of Nanda Maharaj. Actually, Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, this is Bhagavatam 10.25.7. He says that the Samataka crowds, see, Papa says the Samataka crowds were actually frightened by Indra's powerful mood. So they didn't really want to go, but Indra was so mad, they just said they better carry it out. Okay, so in Samataka crowds, no, they're not really directly at fault. They were like strong arm to do this. They had to go do it. Because Indra himself says, I'm coming, you go. Now, the Sambataka crowds tried very hard to mess the whole place up. In fact, at the beginning, they were being quite successful in destroying, flooding. The people were afraid. The wind gods there. Now, Indra can, in fact, he's responsible for rain, but he could let wind also come because he's a king of heaven now. He's a king of heaven. Therefore, he has power over some of the demigods. He can order them, and so he was angry and he wanted them to do, and they have to follow what he was saying. So, the Vrijavasis obviously got scared, and then they went to Krishna. Krishna, you are the, because we've already seen or at least heard of pastimes of getting rid of demons. So they knew Krishna had some power. They didn't know who he was, but they knew he had some power. So then they went to him. Please save us from what's happening. It has to be Indra doing this because we know he's responsible for rain. And we didn't give the sacrifice to him, the puja to him. Therefore, that's why he's doing this. So then Krishna said they shouldn't be afraid. And he lifted Govardhan Hill, supported it with the pinky, small finger of his left hand, and he asked them to come underneath. Now, it's been described that sometimes we think immaterially, sometimes you lift, we expect that if you lift a hill, beneath it should be like clay and things of that nature. You lift the hill. That wasn't the case. Beneath the hill, as Krishna's potency would kick in, was nice, soft grass. So it wasn't a mess that they were underneath. It was very nice. And then they took shelter under the Govardhan Hill. Thunder and Indra himself throwing thunderbolts. So the top of the hill obviously was getting the rain. But because Krishna's hand was holding Govardhan Hill at the bottom, so the effect of the rain wasn't really felt. Negative or bad effect was not felt by Govardhan Hill. Govardhan Hill was in ecstasy because of Krishna's touch underneath the hill. There were some cows that made it to the bottom of the hill. There were some cows still on top of the hill when this happened. They were also protected, even though all of that rain was coming. Later on, Krishna called for his Sudarshan Chakra, which came and started drying up all that flood. So there was flood first, it was obvious. But then Sudarshan Chakra with his heat started drying up, and it got to the point where Sudarshan Chakra was drying up the water faster than the rain could fall on Govardhan and that area. And so it got to a point where as soon as the rain fell, it was dry by Sudarshan Chakra. 7 days had gone by. The gopis were all too happy to be around Krishna. You know that. They always spend time with him. But now he's got 7 straight days. It would be like one night and they have to go back home. This time, everybody was there. They were there. And so it got to a point where Indra realized that this whole idea of Samatsaka class trying to destroy Vrindavan wasn't going to work because of what the Sudarshan Chakra was doing. And therefore, he called for a stop. And he realized that Krishna wasn't an ordinary human being like he said before. So, when he asked the Samatsaka class to go away, the 7th day, Krishna told everybody that underneath the Govardhan Hill, now the weather is fine. You can come from under the Govardhan Hill. Actually, there's a small part of the pastime where, because the cowherd men still did not know that Krishna was actually God, they said, well, let's help you, you know, with the support of Govardhan Hill. So we have some sticks and we're going to put it underneath Govardhan Hill to help you. This is very nice. Sometimes you show up and somebody can do it and say, you need help? Says, yeah, I need some help. So, you know, 7 days, very long, 7 days, so put some, you know, support. And first Krishna objected and he said, no, we'll help. So Krishna allowed them to, and he let go of Govardhan Hill and all the sticks just got smashed. And then they realized that this isn't going to work well. You know, they tried. So now they got from underneath Govardhan Hill, and then Krishna said Govardhan Hill down. And now Indra realized that Krishna is not an ordinary personality. And Krishna also had to be apologized too for what Indra had done. Now remember all those things that Indra had said about Krishna. All the offenses. Krishna knew, because Krishna's hands and ears are everywhere. He knew. So when finally Indra descended with his elephant carrier and wanted to apologize to Krishna, Krishna simply ignored him. And Indra realized that he had asked for trouble. So finally, he decided to appeal to Mother Surabhi, the cow. Krishna loves cows. See, so that's a strategy for us. If we get offensive to someone so badly that they won't hear us, you gotta go find someone that they will appeal, appeal to them and state your case to that person and have the person speak on behalf of you. This is actually a good practice. Good practice. So India is teaching us how to sometimes get around issues, especially when we know that we're in the wrong. So Mother Surabhi came and spoke to Krishna on behalf of Indra. And then basically Krishna agreed but preached to Indra also to explain to him. Now Indra at that point knew that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You have a function. Your function is just like the other demigods, to supply rain. You do not get a puja like a bribe. You know, the puja becomes like a bribe. You do and I do for you. So you're supposed to give. The rain doesn't belong to you. You give as your duty rather than wait for something to get first. I mean, this is happening in so many countries now. The country that I'm from, Ghana, my goodness. The officials, if you want something done for you, you have to give them some bribe, then they do for you. As a matter of fact, one guy told me, this is so bad now, that one official was bold enough to tell the person that wanted help that it actually costs so much for the registration and everything to do the work that I have to do for you. But if you give me a bribe less than what it costs, it's actually more economical for you to bribe me, because I take less money than the government would take as a fee for doing what I have to do for you. It's that bad now. It's that bad now. So obviously Kali Yuga is raging on, and who knows what's going to happen in the future. But you know, Yamaraj isn't missing any of these. Sometimes people think they'll get away with it because right away there is no kind of reprimand, so they think they can get away with this extra money coming to apart from their paychecks. But they're asking for trouble, as you well know. So at all times, what we learn from this: one, very, very good idea to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead when we're in trouble. Actually, even now, people who are not paying attention to God consciousness, when you get in trouble in this country, now it's called OMG, right? You know what OMG means? Oh my God. Oh my God. People who don't go to church even say, oh my God, when they get into trouble. Somehow the soul makes them talk the right thing, that they have connected to Christ, to Krishna. So we are all connected to Krishna at all times. We should never forget that, and we should always seek the help and protection. For us, we go through the spiritual master. The spiritual master is the representative of Krishna. As a matter of fact, we're going to talk a little bit more about advice given by the spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj. But before we do that, are there any questions about this? Before we switch gears, any questions? Okay, so there are 64 principles. 64 principles given by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj. And we won't go through all 64. We'll take a couple of principles, a couple of them. Principle number 35. This is advice or principles for community building, since we are a community. Principle number 35. He who is constantly absorbed in discussing about Sri Hari is a sadhu, is a saint. One who is constantly engaged in serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a saint, and one who in all his endeavors tries to serve Krishna is a saint. So there are three definitions that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj has given about who a sadhu is. One who is constantly absorbed in discussing about Krishna, Sri Hari. As it said in the scriptures, Makita Makita Prana Bodayantas Prasparam Kathayantas Chama Nityam Tushanticha Rumanticha. That those who are devotees of the Lord, who are always thinking about the Lord, their very life air, Krishna is, as it says, his bhakti is locked up in the heart of the pure devotee. And so the pure devotee discusses about Krishna at all times. And they enthuse themselves by not only discussing, but sometimes having one person preach about Krishna and they listen, just like it's happening now. And in that way, they get very, very, very pleased, because Krishna Katha, pastimes about Krishna, facts about Krishna are always pleasant for the soul. It goes directly into the soul. The other day we were talking, yesterday, remember, talking to three devotees, that when you chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we chant in the outside, sometimes we go on a japa walk and we chant. His Holiness Ram Govinda Swami mentioned in here, literally when he came to visit. The living entities benefit from our chanting when we go. And I myself was thinking out loud, so if we chant to a tree, we speak in, does a tree hear me? Can they hear? Well, science hasn't proved that a tree has ears. I don't know that yet. But the tree has a soul. There's a soul inside the tree. And the soul has senses. So the soul definitely can hear. And the mantra is actually transcendental. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives three qualities of a saint. Each focuses on constant absorption in service of the Lord. So a real sadhu is fixed in these activities. A real sadhu, thinking of Krishna. Rupa Goswami tells us you should remember Krishna, never forget Krishna, serving Krishna, and in all his endeavors, everything they do, they have an angle. If not directly serving Krishna, wherever they are, they try to dovetail, that's the word, angle, somehow connected with Krishna consciousness. In that way, they can remember Krishna day in, day out, morning, afternoon, and evening. It's important to be that way, because when we think of Krishna all the time, then when it comes time to leave the body, we will in fact remember Krishna. That's what Krishna says. You remember Krishna, you go to Krishna's abode. And when it comes time to leave the body, what we have been focusing on the most is what we are going to remember. Now, so then if we say, take a person that doesn't chant that much, thinks about many other things in the material rather than chanting. Another point that makes that person a little safe when it comes to leaving body is sadhu sangha. Relating to devotees, associating with devotees. When we keep our association of devotees good, that is, we don't burn bridges, we don't get into conflicts with devotees, and when it comes time to leave the body, devotees usually in their kindness would stop whatever they're doing and they will go to the place where this devotee is leaving the body to chant so the devotee can hear and remember the Lord. So even if a person is not chanting their 16 rounds, and relates very nicely, relates nicely to devotees and helps devotees in any way that they can so that they've built a good relationship with devotees, that person most likely will be given the mercy by the devotees in the form of chanting so they can hear the Supreme Personality of Godhead's name before they leave. This place is a material world. The material world is a house of correction. It's jail. Sometimes we forget that. We try to make things comfortable for us. Well, that's all right. You can make things comfortable, but if you make things comfortable in jail, you can only move a sofa. The things that are disturbing to us are still there. Sometimes we talk about a world war, right? World War III may come. World war is already going on. It's been going on for ages. We are going through world war. The life that we live inside of us, we've learned this in biology. Aren't there germs trying to make us sick? Actually, they're not trying to make us sick. They're just trying to live. They're trying to live. You just imagine trying to live. A mosquito trying to live. It needs blood. It comes to take blood from you. You get sick. But it's not trying to make you sick. It's just trying to eat, just like you eat. This is the kind of world that we live in. So the germs, they try to live, and in living they cause us trouble. So the red blood cells, as it says, they fight against them. Isn't that going on every day around the whole world? That's your world war inside your body. This is going on all of the time. The external world war is what the nations do. But we go to our own internal one. This physical body is only here for a short while. It will get old, it will slow down. So the best thing to do is make sure that your soul is fed properly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj says three things. Be absorbed in thinking about Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Krishna is absolute. So when you think about Krishna's pastimes, you are thinking about Krishna. Even the paraphernalia, neediness to wear yellow garments, even that, thinking about him, his hair, everything, that is still Krishna consciousness. Pastimes involving him, pastimes set by other sadhus about him, all of that. Constantly engage yourself in serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are in Kartik now. We are in Kartik now. And this Kartik everything that you do, the benefits from it multiplied several times. Sometimes you get worth 1,000 times. So spiritual credits are important for us. So in this month, Kartik, it is important to do as much service as possible. Be greedy for service, because everything you do, the benefits get multiplied several times. Right after Kartik, you're bound to whatever you get from whatever you do. But in Kartik, everything you do, you get so many more benefits recorded for you by the Paramatma. So we should take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. All endeavors try to serve Krishna. So that is principle number 35. Then principle number 38. A bona fide spiritual master, this is Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj talking. A bona fide spiritual master is none different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one cannot say that the spiritual master is the personal manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that person will not be able to utter the holy name of the Lord. So let's explain. A bona fide spiritual master. Who is a bona fide spiritual master? A bona fide spiritual master is one that preaches about Krishna and also acts in accordance with what's required for Krishna, especially the sadhana, the chanting, the regulating principles. He talks about them, but he also lives by them. Now we can say he or she lives by them, because now ISKCON is going to have women gurus too. So you're not just going to be he only. My Guru Maharaj said it's long overdue. Before he left his body, he said, Mother Janama is the consort or wife of Lord Chananda. She was spiritual master. She was spiritual master a long time. So this has been happening. So finally, the GBC has approved now. So we're going to have some spiritual masters. Now, Srila Prabhupada was asked about this. Can women be spiritual masters? And I read that he said yes. He said yes. He didn't in fact qualify though. He said not too many. But he did say yes. And therefore, so now it's going to be done in the International Society of Krishna Consciousness. So, a bona fide spiritual master is none different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why? Well, the bona fide spiritual master is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is actually not. But he's none different in terms of his activity. Why? It's not because of the Guru. It's because of Krishna himself. Krishna is absolute. Krishna is absolute. Therefore, Shastra is Krishna. Because Shastra talks about Krishna. Whatever talks about Krishna's paraphernalia is Krishna. Krishna's pastimes is Krishna. And the spiritual master's business is Krishna consciousness. Therefore, he is connected to Krishna because Krishna himself is absolute. What he says is what Krishna wants him to say. A bona fide spiritual master. So he is non-different in terms of the message that he gives us about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then, if one cannot say, if one cannot say that the spiritual master is the personal manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then one will not be able to utter the holy name of the Lord. So if the person has not said, or cannot say, or doesn't believe that the spiritual master is a personal manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they may say Hare Krishna, but it won't have any effect. It doesn't mean they can't say Hare Krishna, because everybody can say, they can speak. You can't stop people from speaking if they want to speak. But it wouldn't go to the heart. It won't have much benefit. And so the importance of a spiritual master cannot be stressed enough. The spiritual master is who Krishna guides us through. In this path, we are guided by the spiritual master. In Bhagavad Gita, we know Krishna was speaking to Arjuna. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is speaking to Arjuna. Well, who is Krishna? Well, we already know Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But at that time, what role was he playing? Spiritual master. Arjuna was disciple, and Krishna was guru, spiritual master. And he preached the science of the soul to Arjuna. Very important. So even in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is playing the role of spiritual master. even though he mentions when the most confidential knowledge that he is the ultimate for everything. Yeah, he does say that. But he's still instructing Arjuna, though, as a spiritual master. Very, very, very important to respect the parampara system, because it is that, the teaching. We are the students or servant of a servant of a servant, and Krishna, representative, the spiritual master, is the one that gives us the prescription. He gives us a prescription, which means living in the material world is living an unusual lifestyle. It's an unusual lifestyle that somehow we have gotten to accept. In one sense, we have no choice because we're in the material world. We've gotten to accept and we've gotten to tolerate. And we tolerate a whole lot. Like, give one example. When the weather changes and becomes unbearable for our bodies, either too hot or too cold, we say it's very hot, nah, or it's very cold, but what do? You can't change it. And so we put up with it. We tolerate. We tolerate and we tolerate. But sometimes we forget that in the spiritual world, we don't have to tolerate bad weather. There's no such thing as bad weather in the spiritual world. There's no such thing. And whether we like it or not, we're getting old. And all you have to do, if you're not an old person, is look at the older persons. They all slowed down. Believe you me, 50 years back, they were running as fast as they could, jumping at everything. So the Prabhupada says, one time in the lecture I was listening to, he says, so the body gets old. He says, I remember when I was young, I used to jump up and all of that. Now I'm old, I can't, I have to take a stick. So he was talking about himself. The body gets old. We have to put up with that. All kinds of disease, we have to put up with that. It doesn't matter how wealthy we are. We have to put up with disease. Try to get better. So this is not a place to take so seriously. If you put all your marbles in one material world basket, that this is where I'm going to try to make it, you are really, really, really in illusion. Because this is not the place that gives happiness. Maya works in two ways. He has two energies. And Srila Prabhupada has described it, the energy of illusion, then the energy of temptation. This is how it works. Makes you think that the material world is okay. But it's only, we feel, especially in America, that it's okay because the lifestyle here is better than many countries where you go there it is. The way it is in other countries. Even a poor person has a car. In many other countries, you have to be rich to have a car. But in America, you can be poor and still have a car. And therefore, comparatively, compared to other countries, it looks like life is better here. And of course, you know, we all want a little better situation. So then we come to America because there's going to be a better life. But we shouldn't be fooled into thinking that because it's better, then we are okay. Birth, death, old age, disease follows us everywhere, whether you're in America or not. That gets, you get affected by it. Therefore, we should never be in illusion that because my house is big and my car is nice and so on. That's okay. It's a little more convenient. So this is the time to take Krishna consciousness more seriously, not less seriously, more seriously, because life is a little bit more manageable and a little bit more tolerable. But if, and Maya would just say, oh yeah, yeah, see, it's a good life now. You don't need to do anything. You don't need to do anything. And then you'd be on a deathbed later on and begin to realize, but everything I work for is going to be taken in anyway. I made a will, it's for my children, but I don't have control over what the children would do with my wealth. I don't have control. I'm going to die and leave it. And you know how people do when they didn't work hard for something they got. Usually they waste it. They tend to waste it. But you have no say because you're dead. So if you use your wealth, part of it, Guru Swami says 50% of it, for Krishna's service, for service to Krishna, then it goes as spiritual credits in your favor. So that when you leave the body, then of course, those are all counting as spiritual credits for us. And even if it gets to a situation, we put this out, you know, sometimes in Krishna consciousness, there's some things we call first class, some things not first class. So what I'm going to talk about is not first class, but it's something to consider. That if we have money and we're a little reluctant to serve Krishna with the bulk of our money, because, well, you know, it's there for a rainy day and all that, I can't see myself spending like that. Well, consider that one day will come, you leave the body. And when you leave the body, you don't need that money. You don't. Therefore, if you're too uptight with spending now, which is the best thing to do, at least you can make a will. And in the will, say that after I leave my body, give this to Krishna's service. Okay? Because if you do that, then the will cover you. All right, now I don't need the money because I left the body. But now I've had the good sense to have the money given for, and you can specify what projects too. Okay? You just have them have it to spend now, because the will releases the money for Krishna's service. Now your soul is going to be given credits for it. Okay. The best thing is to spend while you're living, because then you really want to spend. But if it's not at all, the second class thing is put it in the will and have some of it, a good chunk of it, given to Krishna's service when you leave the body. So at least you're able to, you know, serve in that way. It's not the topmost, not the best thing, but it's actually better than, you know, giving it totally to, you know, a material situation where you have no control. You can at least get the spiritual credits that way. Okay. Are there any questions? Srila Prabhupada ki. Any questions or comments? I'm supposed to stop at 6 and we have a couple of minutes. I'll go. Sorry.